So what we're going to speak about what is a, I think, a very intriguing question that many of the Mefarshim are bothered by, and it's a question which I think, for good reason. The Torah tells us in this week's Parsha that we begin going through the Makos, and the first of the Makos is the Makos of Dam, and the Makos of Dam, the Torah tells us, was Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, and Moshe is told to instruct Aaron to take his mata, take his staff, and to hit the water, and then all the water of Mitzrayim, al naharosam, al yorehem, yagmehem, v'yakom mikveh meimehem, that everything uveitz muvavanim, all the water in Mitzrayim is suddenly going to turn to blood. It is true that there is an opinion in some of the Bali HaTosfos that it didn't really become blood; it only sort of looked like blood. But the mainstream approach of the majority of Rishonim, Rabbi Bechai, and others is that we're dealing with it. Actually, the water became blood. The question which many Mefarshim ask is the following very intriguing one. Number one, what did the Mitzrayim drink for the entire time this was going on? Like, how did they get by? Was it like they had nothing to drink the entire time? I mean, maybe the Netziv in one place sounds like there was like a certain kind of like intense thirst that the Mitzrayim had throughout the Makkah of Dam. But other Mefarshim assume that, like, it doesn't seem like Paro was complaining in the Psukim about an inability to drink. It doesn't seem like that was what was bothering the same way. Like, was there any water for them? And the second, more powerful question is, it appears that there was water for them. Why do we think that there was sort of some water for them? Because the Torah tells us, V'yasu chin chartumei Mitzrayim bilatehem, that the Mitzrayim somehow were able to, the chartumim, the sorcerers in Egypt, were able to recreate the Makkah of Dam. What does it mean to recreate the Makkah of Dam? That they took water and made it into blood. Wonder many Mefarshim, how did they have access to water to make into blood? Wasn't all the water in Mitzrayim already blood? The Midrashim even described, the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma, that it sounds like everything became blood, that even if a Mitzri would come and he would spit, the spit would become blood. And if the Mitzri and the Jew were drinking out of the same cup, the Medrash tells us, that the Jewish water coming out of his straw would be water, and the Mitzri coming out of his straw would be blood. And therefore, one of the Mefarshim, why isn't Paro complaining about this? Why does it seem like they maybe did have something to drink on some level? But more importantly, how did the Chartumim get any water to even do the trick with? What exactly was the impact? Now, as we can anticipate, this question becomes very important for assessing the precise sort of almost like Hagdara of what took place with the Makkah of Dam. What exactly was happening with Dam and what wasn't happening with Dam? And it does relate to a broader question, as we'll see, but what exactly the purpose of the Makkah of Dam was. There were Asara, there are Esther Makkos, there are 10 different Makkos which took place. Presumably each one, and it's part of the reason why there were 10, was there to accomplish a particular goal, and what exactly was the goal of Dam. But the primary question, how does it appear to be that there was water in Mitzrayim, what exactly was going on? So we'll talk about a couple of Mahalchim. There are more out there. We'll talk about a couple of Mahalchim. One Mahalch is a Mahalch suggested by the Bechor Shor in his Perush al Torah. The Chizkuni has it also. Many of the Bali Tovos quote the Pshat from the Bechor Shor, which is rereading the Pasuk a little bit. During the entire time of that Makkah, the water was actually not Dam. It was Nir Elishol Nasa HaYor Dam Ach Oso Sha'a. It was only a very short amount of time that the water in Mitzrayim actually became blood. Why is that so? Teda. It doesn't say that like they were never able to find anybody at all. And also the Chartumim. How were they able to do it? It was all Dam. It must be, even in their Kalim, because the Torah says, Afilu be'etzim uva avanim. Rather, it must be, it was only a temporary thing that the water itself actually became Dam. That's what the Chartumim were able to copy. That's what they were able to drink. That is the Pshat of the Bechor Shor. In Chazal, it does not appear to be that way, and most Mefarshim assume that it was actually blood for a significantly longer period of time, and therefore they have other suggestions as to exactly what was going on here. The Targum Yonasan, and here's the other pshat, which is maybe that there was some water in Mitzrayim. There was some water in Mitzrayim that was not actually considered to be blood. Targum Yonasan writes that the Chartumim brought the blood, the fichu min maya de Goshen la'adama, that the water that was in Goshen where the Jews were living, that was the water, that was that always did water, and even the Mitzvah would take it, that would continue to be water. Some suggest a similar idea, some of the Balei HaTosfos in the Perush al Torah suggest, the Rid suggests, that maybe there was water that was not in the Yor itself, but in the surrounding areas, if you would dig a little bit, you could still get some water. Yor HaChaim suggests that it says in the Medrash that Bnei Yisrael became rich during the time period of Makkah of Dam. Not only later on when they were asking for the Mishnah of Dam, But even earlier, they already became wealthy because we had water and we would sell the water. So it sounds like, says the Or Chaim, at least in some versions of Chazal, that if they would actually purchase from a Jew, if they purchase water, so then they would be able, then they would be okay. In that sense, there are those who therefore suggest that it wasn't that it was short, but rather it was in a more, not all the water really turned into dam, with different suggestions as far as exactly the precise impact of all of that. There is another idea, similar to the second, but one that we'll try to elaborate on and develop at greater length, which is meduyak in Chazal. It may be meduyak in Psukim, and it is one elaborated upon, which I think shares a lot of insight in terms of what the Makkah of Dam was really all about. Rav Hirsch writes in his Perush on Chumash that if you look really closely, gam b'hasra'a v'gam b'makkah atzma, both in regards to the warning and the Makkah itself, midaberes haTorah shuv v'shuv v'mefurash rak al mei hayor. There seems to have been a focus on the rivers and that kind of water. It seems to be that was the emphasis. Meha be'eros, if you had a well, nosra ru'uyim l'shtia, that could be you could still drink those waters. It was really precisely on the rivers. It was really precisely on the Nile and all that came from the Nile. That's what it really, really was. Why did they attack dafka that? V'achein rak l'hakas hayor. It was dafka, an attack on that water. So which kind of water was it in the kalim of Avanim that was a problem? It was a water that originally came from the Yaor. It was a water that originally came from there. Upshot, which is again, Tully Machlokes and Chazal, how much of the water was actually there, but it was really an attack more on the Nile River and all that impacted beyond it. Because of that, the Sefer Hoel Moses suggests that I think that on some level, that's where the Khartoumim got their water from. The water they got wasn't from the Nile. The water they got was from other places also. It wasn't really coming from the Nile. What is this impact? So here we have an intriguing idea. Why would it be, if the goal of the Makkah was just to punish the Mitzrim, so why wouldn't it be that all the water becomes blood? Like the Medrash we quoted earlier suggests, even their saliva became blood. Why would it be? It would be primarily an attack on the Yaor, primarily an attack on the rivers, and that which comes and flows from the Nile. What exactly is the purpose of that? And here there are a variety of mefarshim that offer insight into the terms of the nature of the Makkah of Dam. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Zichron Levracha, offered this in a couple of contexts. We'll quote from him, but it's a very standard idea out there. As many of us know, the Nile River was not only for the Egyptians, was not only the source of their river, but they treated it with godlike qualities. The Nile was perceived to be, and to have the power in a certain sense of a degree of elokus. It was something which was elevated to that extent. There are different makkas that were present, and the goal of the different makkas, some of them were to give messages primarily, some of them were impacting different audiences in a certain sense. However, the goal of the Makkah of Dam was to attack precisely the deity, that Nile River. It was there to make a statement that what you view as a god, in fact, is not. And it goes one step further. As Sachs points out that we know that in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, when the midwives are told to kill the Jewish babies, where are they killing the Jewish babies? Dafka in the Nile River. Paro took what should have been this unbelievable life force called the Nile River, and he used that to create genocide. He used that as an agent of death. The river that turned to blood was there. It was a communication to the Egyptians, which was the following, suggests Rabbi Sachs. Reality has an ethical structure. See what it feels like when the gods that you turned against the Ivrim turn on you. If it's used for evil ends, the power of nature will turn against man, so that what he does will be done to him in retribution. There is justice in history. It was a statement to the Mitzrim, get ready for what is going to take place. That which you thought was a god, and that which had the ability that you could have used to bring life force, to bring water, Geshem is bracha, to have brought that to the world. Instead, what you did was use it to commit genocide. And the message to the Mitzrim was very, very clear. If we take that which is supposed to be there to bring a certain degree of excitement, a certain kind of life force, and if you use that for genocide, the message was that there is, Rabbi Sachs said so beautifully, justice in history. It will not go unpunished. that it will not go unpunished. In that sense, perhaps one of the reasons why they had water from other locations and the attack was primarily an attack on the Nile River was to communicate this idea. It was an attack on, if you use these things for murder, we will have this turn on you. That there's no such thing as committing crimes or committing certain acts and assuming that word is not going to get out. There is no mitzias in which that takes place because there is justice in history. My wife Jake from yesterday gave this is not for right now as much, but gave a very beautiful and powerful shiur about Chaim Walder in light of a similar mahalach here about the idea of things come back to get us and that there is a certain kind of structure, an ethical structure in mitzias. Not for now, but certainly a general insight here. Why? How did the Khartoumim have water? Why does it seem like Paro was able to drink water? Either because it only became down for a very short amount of time, or the water of the Jews, there were other places they could get water, or Chaim, that's how Bnei Israel, got wealthy, by selling water. That was the only place you could get it. Or the third idea, Rav Hirsch, some others, based on Chazal, that the attack was not an attack on all water, it was an attack dafka on the water that came from the rivers and that would float from it. And it was a way, we were suggesting, because that was part of the goal of the Makav Dam, was to take on their God and to make a statement of that which had the capacity to give life, used for death, and it's going to come back to haunt you, to give them a heads up, to communicate that idea. Look what is going to be coming. Have a wonderful rest of your day.